You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
Warning, 30 screams or less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Dolly. It's directed by Rod Blackhurst, written by Rod Blackhurst and Brandon Weevil, starring Fabienne Therese as Macy, Sean William Scott as Chase, Ethan Suplee as Toby, and Max the Impaler as Dolly. I shit you not, that's the name Max is going by because that's a professional wrestler. The plot of the movie is Macy, a young woman, is abducted by a monstrous figure intent on raising her as her own child. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Dolly?
So, this has been getting a lot of love in the horror circles, but it really didn't work for me.
Oh, shit. Okay.
The pacing drags in strange places. The characters feel underwritten. And the movie builds its tension around Dolly's creepy obsession with Macy. Without ever explaining why she behaves the way she does, we know she wants to make her hurt. Daughter, but like, why specifically Macy? Without that context, the whole thing ends up feeling more confusing than unsettling, honestly.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I was always wondering what the motivation was for Dolly, because clearly Dolly has some issues where she needs to play with dolls, and it went to a more twisted route of her taking human beings and basically making them dolls, including her headless mother that laid in the bedroom. She would hold her like a baby. So we didn't really get a backstory as to why that happened, but I bet you anything there's going to be a sequel.
Oh yeah,
and
for
we
sure.
Might get a backstory to that.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
And yeah, I hope so too,
because I didn't dislike this by any means. There was just a couple little minor gripes that I had.
That's fair. Sometimes this movie went on to be completely absurd, like Sean William Scott or Chase's jaw basically just hanging off.
So like, He gets fucking cooked in this movie nonstop.
Yeah. The amount of damage that he experienced in this movie, no one should survive at all. What Dolly did to his face, you would think would just annihilate his spine in the process, completely paralyzing him. But nope, he's fine. Just getting up and walking with a broken leg and a jaw that's just hanging off. And when we say hanging off, we mean it's like split the fuck open.
Yeah, right, and she, just in like a little more context, is just picture what it would look like if you put a shovel in your mouth and put it through someone's head.
Yep.
Because that's what happens, like shovel
that's
in the
mouth. That's what happens, yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, you are fucking kidding me. I thought that was completely insane. It was, it was kind of comical if you think about it. For someone to be so mangled and be like, nope, I'm fine. I gotta save my girlfriend with, like, one leg and basically no face. Naturally, it didn't work out. But immediately, we were kind of thinking that Sean William Scott, or Chase, was toast at the very beginning of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, did they just blow their budget on this actor to only be there for, like, 15 minutes?
Yeah, because let's face it. I mean, Sean William Scott's been in a lot of memorable roles. Like, Stifler's probably his biggest, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and he's been in a ton of stuff. He's still in a ton of stuff to this day. And, like, seeing that type of A-lister in a smaller type indie movie and to have him get clapped right in the beginning, like, what'd you do? Did he take a hot dog for payment just to be in this movie?
A peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I want to be in a horror movie.
Indie wrestlers. Hot dogs, you know, the indie wrestlers, they all do the peanut butter sandwiches.
Yes. And $25 for a peanut butter sandwich.
Exactly. So maybe he did that. Maybe it was a favor. You know, some directors, they have, like, these stars that they're friends with. And they'll just call up and be like, hey, you interested in doing a part real quick? And it's like, yeah, okay. Like, Brad Pitt. I think Brad Pitt did Deadpool 2, like, a brief cameo for a cup of coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
I know that he had that at that cameo. Like, was it Matt Damon in Deadpool Wolverine? Briefly,
I don't remember that, but I know Matt Damon because I was just about to mention Matt Damon about being in Eurotrip, you know, singing Scotty Doesn't Know. And he was just kind of, I think, dicking around not too far away. And the director was like, hey, what are you up to? And he's like, nothing. And he just shows up and then, like, he plays the most famous fucking role ever, being the rock star Scotty Doesn't Know. So fucking weird. But sometimes it's like that.
Matt Damon. Directors.
They have, like, that, like, hookup.
I knew I didn't make that up. It wasn't Deadpool Wolverine. He was in Thor Ragnarok and Thor Love and Thunder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But they were cameos. He played an actor in the movie playing Loki.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. I love when they do that. I've always been a fan of cameos from actors where they just show up and they're like, oh, hey. And then it's like they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the majority of the time, it's fucking hilarious because you're like, oh, shit, what the hell?
Yeah.
Just shows up out of nowhere and then whatever, they're done.
It's just that, like, have you
never see them again?
Have you watched the new Anaconda movie yet?
No, I haven't.
It's fucking terrible. Don't watch it because I'm going to spoil it for you right now.
It stars a giant snake?
It's got a giant snake in it, but they did the same thing because obviously the original Anaconda film is iconic. But yeah. they had to fit Ice Cube in the new movie for like 3 seconds.
Of course they did. Yeah.
Just a random Ice Cube cameo.
You know what?
And J-Lo, actually.
J-Lo was in it.
Yeah,
okay.
Briefly. After an after credit scene or some, like, right before the credits. I can't remember. But she did have a brief cameo in it. She goes to talk to, I think it was Jack Black's character. And she's like, hey, we're rebooting Anaconda. We liked your script or whatever. Because you know the plot of what this new movie is, right?
No, not really.
So Paul Rudd and Jack Black decide they're going to remake Anaconda. That's the plot.
Okay, so it's like a movie.
It's meta.
Acknowledging it's based on a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. It's dumb.
Yeah. Was the Disaster Artist like that? Do you see the Disaster Artist?
Yeah, but that was just like, obviously The Room, but it was like a Hollywood version
of The making
of
The Room, but a movie of it?
Yeah,
right?
Kind of, yeah. Because okay. They had Franco played Tommy Wiseau's character.
Right.
Yep.
Which I thought he did great for that role.
Yeah.
I thought he pulled it off.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we're supposed to be talking about a horror movie that we actually, you know, we enjoyed.
Oh, right. Thanks for bringing it back.
Yeah, no problem. I figured I'd do that as a segue.
ADHD is going to take us somewhere else soon, I'm sure.
Oh, so this is where people love our fucking lunacy because...
I don't know about that. They didn't our Scream review or our 28 Years Later review.
No,
we'd be getting
people
cooked
are not
by
happy
social
with
media.
Our shit. Social media is not happy
I
with us.
I told you,
at
though. It's engagement. It's good.
Hey, you know what? What do they say? There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening to us right now. But yeah,
we should do a bit where
we're getting on some of these videos.
You know those what's that late night show where they read mean tweets?
Oh, probably James Gordon or something like that.
One of those.
I don't even think he has a show anymore.
One of those late night idiots did that reading mean tweets thing with like celebrities, and they would read the mean things people say about him. We should do a segment about that.
Oh God. Mean comments?
Yeah. Mean 30 Screams or Less comments.
Well, I've always been told that people are more likely to leave a bad review of something as opposed to like a good review. because it's easier to talk shit about something than it is to praise something,
mm-hmm.
right? So people, they'll talk shit all over social media because, you know, it's easy to hide behind a keyboard. But whatever, you know, the fact of the matter is, go for it. Talk shit all you want because it's helping our views. It's only helping.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me feel like a dick. But at the same time, I'm just like, well, at least our like podcast is getting noticed.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had to bring you down from your, you know, you were very upset the other day.
I was like, damn, man. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure people don't go waste their time seeing a movie, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, fuck it. I'm like, okay, yes, I'll commit to the. Fine.
All right. We were just talking about not talking about the movie.
Let's I get know, back and here we are. Again. We're just going off the fucking hinge again. No, but we were like, what I was mentioning was, is that we'll go off the fucking rails because we either A, love the movie, or B, don't want to talk about it. But I mean, there's some cool stuff to talk about with this movie. I don't want to go too off the rails.
Yeah.
I love the cinematography with this movie.
Yeah. I just want to like one of the first things I noticed at the very beginning, wasn't it shot in like a something special, like to get that gritty feeling?
Yeah, the 16mm.
16mm, that's what it was, yeah. So you've got that gritty feeling, and it sort of nailed the aesthetic of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They weren't trying to rip it off by any means. Definitely a lot of inspiration. But I love that, because that movie came out, what, 70-something, the original?
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't have the technology they have now, and now we have way better technology, but they still managed to recreate that aesthetic that made us all shit our pants when we first saw the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And Dolly is very much like Bubba.
Yeah, I could see that all day. I can see those comparisons between Bubba and Dolly for sure. Especially even the family and the house and everything. It's very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque. So like, you can definitely see influence from Texas Chainsaw Massacre to this movie. I love that they shot in 16mm because that's a lost art, man.
Yep.
You know, I was like a little worried at first. I'm thinking to myself, I hope it's not shot digitally and then they're just like kind of throwing grain and like some filters on top of it to make it look like it's scratchy. But I fucking hung out through the credits for some reason. I was like, you know what? Something's telling me to stick around. And that's when it said 16mm. I was like, no shit. That answers my question, whether this movie was actually shot digital or if it was actually film. And man, shooting on film, I hear, is a fucking son of a bitch. Digital's just so much easier.
Oh, for sure. And especially where, you know, when I'm sure the budget wasn't very high for this movie. And, you know, they absolutely went the extra mile to nail that like 70s, 80s slasher aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Right down to the costume. I love Dolly's costume.
Great.
The mask. It wasn't even just a mask. Like, there was one point that someone didn't she knock on it, or someone knocked on it, but it made that porcelain sound. Like, she was wearing a porcelain head.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were a lot of really cool things in this movie that I did enjoy, but it did drag. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
Yep. You beat me to the punch there. Yes, it did drag, and I think there's a good reason for it though. The reason is, you're watching this movie and you're watching the interaction between Dolly and Macy, and it's dragging so much because it is such a fucking hopeless situation.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, where is this going? Because there's no escaping this person at all. Dolly is treating her like an actual doll. We're talking rocking her and changing her diaper and things like that. Because at one point, Macy pissed herself, and with reason. And Dolly's like, all right, and just fucking pulls her to the kitchen and changes her, like puts a diaper on her and everything. And I fucking start coming from a mile away, man. It's like, oh no, here we go. So yeah, Dolly was treating her like an actual doll. So I don't know where we got this from, where Dolly was like, has this superhuman strength, where she got that from. We don't really get much backstory on this. We do know that Dolly's a fucking monster of a person. I mean,
definitely casted perfectly.
Maxine Peller was awesome in this. I didn't even realize that Maxine Peller was a professional wrestler, so I thought that was really cool. But yeah, going back to the dragging on, yeah, it was such a hopeless situation, even for the father. And the father caught me off guard on who the actor was.
Really? You looked like,
no idea at first.
Long hair. And Ethan, he was a much bigger guy back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he was.
I'm thinking like, you know, like American History X, Ethan Suplee, you know, he was a big boy.
Yeah.
That is the correct movie, right? He was in that?
Yes, he was. Okay. He was in that. He was in Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World. He was in, I think, Clerks or Mallrats, maybe.
Yes, Mallrats he was in.
Okay.
And he was also in My Name is Earl.
Yep.
So he's had a pretty solid career. And yeah, he went from like this really big guy and fucking lost a shit ton of weight, turned into a brick shit house. And now when you see him on screen, like we didn't recognize it right away. He played Toby, the father, who was actually chained up. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, like, Macy, just get the fuck out of there. If this guy is chained up, it's probably for a good reason. I mean, she wasn't chained up.
No.
She was just hanging out in the room. Not to mention Dolly is such a beast that she doesn't need to worry about chaining people up. So I found this part a little confusing, though, on the motivation for the father. I feel like it was kind of a mix of two things. Macy was trying to get out. He was also trying to get out because he's been locked up by Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
So Dolly had, you know, free reign of the house and doing whatever. And so Macy got him out of the chains. And then he immediately held like a piece of glass to her throat. And I'm thinking to myself, don't they both have the same objective? What's the point?
They're trying to leave.
Yeah, they're both trying to get the fuck out of there. So it got to a point, though, where it was like, all right, maybe he's doing this solely because like of an insurance policy, right?
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say, too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
This episode is brought to you by Spreaker, the platform responsible for a rapidly spreading condition known as podcast brain. Symptoms include buying microphones you don't need, explaining RSS feeds to confused relatives, and saying things like, "Sorry, I can't talk right now, I'm editing audio." If this sounds familiar, you're probably already a podcaster. The good news is Spreaker makes the whole process simple. You record your show, upload it once, and Spreaker distributes it everywhere people listen. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and about a dozen apps your cousin swears are the next big thing. Even better, Spreaker helps you monetize your show with ads, meaning your podcast might someday pay for, well, more microphones. Start your show today at Spreaker.com. Spreaker, because if you're going to talk to yourself for an hour, you might as well publish it.
So he's taking her hostage. He knows that Dolly has very good hearing, so he's expecting at any point Dolly to just come barreling out of the room and maybe throw him back in there and chain him up. So he was probably using her. Well, actually, he was using her as kind of a bargaining chip. Like, I'm getting out of here. I have your doll. And that's when, like, you know, he started cutting Macy's face a little bit to get Dolly downstairs. And I'm thinking maybe to get Dolly downstairs so he can take the house back because it's his house. And then he was going to do some shit to Macy, some sexual shit, but Dolly wasn't having that. So this is where I'm starting to think, okay, we getting like Dolly turning face now? Face turn?
It's funny you say that because professional wrestler, so that's relevant.
Exactly. Yeah, it's relevant. It almost reminded me of that movie Match, you know, where you had that that son in the house, right? He was like this like decrepit looking person, and he almost like did a face turn at the end.
Did we watch that?
Yes, we reviewed it.
Was that the Chris Jericho one? No.
No. No, you're thinking Dark Match. I'm talking the actual movie Match, where this guy was luring girls in from the internet going on dates.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, you remember. All right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, it was kind of reminding me of that, giving me those kind of vibes as
Father
face
is just
turn.
Luring
but
him in.
No, that didn't happen. It didn't. I thought it was going to happen for a second, but it didn't. Dolly just turned into a fucking maniac again. So, yeah, I was a little confused by that for a little bit. I don't know. If it was me, I'd be like, what are you doing? We're both trying to get the hell out of here, aren't we?
Why are you trying to kill me?
Yeah, why are you trying to kill me? Like, if you want, if we want to commit to the bit, you can pretend you're taking me hostage and we'll just get the fuck out of here. I mean, it could have probably been as simple as that. Like, oh, okay, you know. But Dolly ends up fucking destroying her father. And naturally, that doesn't make Dolly too happy because Dolly's killing her dad all of a sudden to protect Macy because Macy is her doll.
Yeah.
So
that's the only reason.
Yeah, it's the only reason. But shortly before that, we see Chase come out of what I would think is death. You know, I thought he died flat out, D-E-D, dead, uppercase, all uppercase, dead. But somehow he's like, all right, I'm going to crawl my ass through the woods to this house to meet up with Macy. And you hear him at one point yelling out for Macy. I'm like, dude, you have no jaw. How are you saying anything?
Yeah, he was kind of mumbly, though.
He was at least mumbly, but it was interesting to see Sean William Scott in that type of role, because I don't think I've seen him in horror movies.
I don't think so, because usually he does like comedies, right? He's in maybe a handful of serious roles, but he's more known for his comedy roles.
Right.
Have you seen The Goon?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love those movies.
The Goon movies are great. I love those movies. Yeah, I actually watched them both. The first one was great because it's got Lee Shriver in it, who plays like the original Goon, and they go like head to head type deal. And, you know, as we know, Lee Shriver, he's from Scream and Scream 2 and Scream 3. Yeah, the three of them.
Oh, wait. Sean William Scott was in a couple of the Final Destination movies.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was in.
Oh, you're right. He was in Final Destination 1. That's, oh, my God. I can't believe I slipped on that.
And Bloodline.
Oh, like does he have like a little cameo in Bloodline?
Mm-hmm.
Not a cameo, but like a flashback sequence?
Must be, yeah, his character.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, because it's all like the Bloodlines. Everything's connected. Type deal based on the flight. So that makes sense. It didn't even dawn on me that he was in Final Destination for a second. So yes, okay, he has been in horror movies.
Yeah, but it's three of them. You know, two Final Destination movies and Dolly, apparently.
I feel like there's one more. I mean, let's look at his filmography for a second, because I could probably just eyeball it and go, oh yeah, those are horror. You know, just looking at his filmography, it doesn't dawn on me sometimes how many of his movies I actually enjoy.
He really doesn't. He's not in a bad movie.
No, I mean, Role Models, fucking great movie.
I know, I've seen it.
Oh, you've definitely seen it. It's with Paul Rudd and
Jason Segel. Is that one?
No, he's not in that.
Oh, the kid from Superbad.
I'm blank on his name for some reason, but I don't know. He's also in. Thank you for that. Okay, but yeah, he's also in. Oh, Dude, Where's My Car? Which is like one of my favorite movies to watch.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of that when we originally started talking about it, but I was like, I remember Ashton Kutcher, but...
Yeah, he was in Dude, Where's My Car? And that's like my comfort dumb movie, where if I need to turn my brain off for a little bit, I watch that movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, all I do is think all day.
I do that with Terrifier.
Terrifier? Well, that makes sense, too. So, I mean, it's just mindless killing. That's all it is. And it's fine. We all need our dumb movies that we can just turn on and be like, I'm just going to watch brain rot for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is for me. That's pure, absolute brain rot. Hey, you know, sometimes the brain needs junk food. You know what I mean?
Mine does all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, there were some violent parts in this movie, though. I mean, obviously, there's the jaw thing. But then Macy trying to get away and seeing. Oh, Corey, you want to talk about it?
The nipple biting?
The nipple biting? Oh, brutal.
Yeah, I'm. That was a first for me.
Oh, gross.
Pulls it right off.
Just, and I mean, from what I gather, that babies kind of do that anyways. But oh man, it like I got to talk about how absurd it was, because Dolly is trying to feed Macy like baby food first, right? And it's like
Macy won't take it.
She's just not having it.
Or she did, and she spit it out because we don't know what it was. It was something very chunky. In a bowl.
It looked really chunky. It looked like, I don't know, it wasn't like your normal baby food, which is kind of like applesauce-y, like that consistency. Whatever she was eating looked like it was fucking shepherd's pie, like just really old.
Yeah, she committed to the bit.
She committed to the bit. So she wasn't having it. She was spitting up. And then Dolly's like, okay, well, I'm going to get a friggin' bottle for you. And Macy wasn't having that either. And that's when you see Dolly just whip out a tit. Like I kind of saw it coming, because it was just the natural progression of feeding a child.
Right.
Okay, you don't want any of this stuff, I'm gonna hand you a tit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just whips it out, and I'm like, oh, I fucking saw this coming. And that's when Macy just fucking takes a chunk out. And I thought that could have been it, because she lost a shit ton of blood from like her tit. Just blood everywhere.
Yep.
And so I thought Macy had a chance of getting away after doing that, but holy shit, man, that was violent. And you see it like pulling, and then it just tears.
It looks so bad, like brutal, like so like good gnarly. And brutal.
Yeah, it looked nice and brutal. Oh man, yeah, that was great. But yeah, oh, You know what? I want to circle back real quick to one of the more ridiculous deaths, which clearly looked like it was CGI. And I think this is probably one of the only instances where they used computer graphics for a kill, and that was for Topi. You know, when she decides to punch through his back.
It was straight up Mortal Kombat death.
Yeah, it was straight Mortal Kombat, just right through the back. And then you see, like, his, like, stomach or heart beating or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, that's pretty fucking gnarly. So, naturally, Topi dies. I mean, there's no way he's coming back from that. But I think that was probably the more ridiculous kill in the movie. Other than Chase, whose jaw got ripped off. Which, oh my God, that was infuriating me. Because it's like a,
what, that
it's
he kept
like a
talking?
Dead piece of skin. What?
What, that he kept surviving and talking and stuff?
No, like with that his jaw was just like kind of like dangling off. It's like a dead piece of skin that's just fucking hanging off. And it's like, can you just fucking take that off already?
It's like you got a crumb or something stuck in your beard.
Yeah, exactly. Just get it out. Just get rid of it. And then finally, Dolly's just like, rip. And oh, God. And he was just the top part at that point. Brutal. But oh, there's one thing I wanted to talk about that you and I did not discuss. Chapters.
Oh, boy. I was thinking of that.
Why didn't we bring that up right away?
I don't know. Because, everyone knows that we do not particularly like those.
There's no point at all. I feel like it just broke the film up more than it needed to be. It could have just been a nice seamless thing all the way through because it already flowed as it is. They could have just simply cut scenes and nothing would have been weird about it. I think the only time where Chapters really made sense, at least for us, Strange Darling. Remember Strange Darling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's also because they were jumping all over the fucking place and they were making it seem like the girl was the one that was like the protagonist. Turns out, no, she's the electric lady, serial killer. So that made sense. But this was such a linear movie that it didn't make sense to have Chapters. They just could have played. So didn't make sense. I don't know what the reasoning was for it because it really didn't add any value.
It didn't. And to your point, I made a note like in the beginning of this. I actually checked the time. You know, I paused the movie. So we're at chapter 3 of this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've only watched 23 minutes of it.
Yeah.
At chapter 3. I was like, are there going to be 100 chapters or this movie? Is it a really short movie? Like, what the hell's happening?
So like every 3 minutes have a chapter?
Yeah, that's what it felt like in the beginning. I don't understand that pace of how they chose to do these chapters. Because if you're going to do chapters, each one of them was seriously felt like 30 seconds. Then you get the next one.
Yeah.
And then like at the end, we get the reunion chapter where Chase comes back in. And I'm like, shit, this is where they're going to kill him off finally for good.
Yeah, so I didn't think chapters were needed. You know what movie does have chapters that gets a pass? Kill Bill.
Okay, yeah.
I think that gets a pass as well for chapters. But ultimately, a lot of times, I don't feel they're necessary. Especially for, like I said, linear-type movies. But if you're having full-blown changes, like in Kill Bill, where you're like different continent, you're meeting someone completely new, and it's almost borderline like a mini-story within the movie, mm-hmm. then that makes sense.
Yeah.
And also sometimes to drive it back to certain points, like Strange Darling, that makes sense. But I didn't think it was necessary. I think it would have been perfectly fine without it. But that was one of my bigger gripes. I was just like, oh, really? We're doing chapters already?
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I thought. As soon as it said chapter one, I was like, oh no, here we go.
Not needed.
It wasn't needed. It doesn't affect how I felt, you know, entirely about this movie. I just didn't like it. The chapters.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, it's not for everyone. I feel like it's definitely a movie if you're a fan of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're fans of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a classic. It's going to be remembered for generations and generations. It's iconic. You can just tell there's influence from Texas Chainsaw Massacre in this movie. So you might think it's pleasant. But Corey, I think we should just get into this. I don't think we need to talk too much about it because I do want people to check the movie out. It's a good movie to check out, but I'm not going to go into my whole little spiel just yet. Corey, what did you think of Dolly?
First of all, I don't even know when people can watch this here.
Yeah, we actually, you know what? We lucked out. We got a screener for this, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Shit, probably should have said that at the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it hit UK theaters last week, but I don't know about the US.
Yeah, we lucked out, man. Look at us. You know what? Getting screeners and shit like that, I fucking love it. It's great.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's good. I like it. It's good. It's good.
It's fine.
It's fine. Oh, bother. Okay. Oh, bother.
All right. So this is going to get a 3 out of 5. Much of this movie feels like it's stuck in neutral until the third act finally pushes things forward, with Ethan Suplee bringing a welcome boost of energy. Visually, though, the film is impressive. The score, lighting, and cinematography work together to capture a convincing 80s aesthetic, which we kind of talked about before. Definitely. And I feel like it helps maintain the mood, even when the narrative itself kind of felt a little thin.
Yes, I agree. You know what? Kind of in the same boat as you. I'm going to give Dolly a 3 out of 5 as well. It's a twisted, over-the-top slasher that fans of Texas Chainsaw Massacre-style horror will likely appreciate. The decision to shoot on the 16mm film gives the movie a gritty, grainy look that fits the tone perfectly, and the score does a great job of reinforcing the film's bleak atmosphere. We didn't talk about the score, which I actually did enjoy. I thought it was like perfect for what it needed to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you would want in this type of film. There was nothing fucking weird about it. It was just ominous and it fit perfectly.
Yep.
That said, the pacing drags at times, largely because the story leans heavily into a sense of hopelessness that can make certain stretches feel stagnant. Again, a lot of times Dolly is just hanging out with Macy and not much is happening. Macy is just in this kind of situation that is completely hopeless. So it makes sense, but at the same time, it's like, okay, what's going to happen here? Are we doing something? What's going on? Mm-hmm. The bizarre return of Chase, despite having half his jaw ripped off, pushes the film into the absurd territory. But overall, it's worth a watch for slasher fans, even if it's not one that I would need to revisit. If you want to see Dolly, you can check it out in select theaters. All right, everyone, help out our algorithm by liking, following, and subscribing to us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, and Slasher. Yes, all of them. No, we're not sorry.
Leave us a 5-star review on every podcast platform you use so strangers can also regret listening to us. Tell your friends, too, because misery loves company.
Our intro and outro music is courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Go listen to him on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to buy it immediately like a responsible adult.
We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestling, heavy metal, horror, basically everything your parents warned you about. Go check them out at shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Visit 30screamsorless.com to buy some merch.
Want us to review something? Contact us through our website or scream into the void on social media. Same difference.
Also, freshen up your face with Beard Octane and save some money while you're at it. Be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout to save 10% off your order, because your beard deserves better than neglect and regret. Smell good, look alive, and scare people for the right reasons. I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.